Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Anybody want to be cursed? Anybody want to be blessed? Well, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. In this, he says, your talents, your abilities, all the things of you. Whose heart departs from the Lord. Now he says, lest cursed is this man that trusts in himself. Hey, God gives us talents, but we give him the glory. Amen. He says, because his heart departs from the Lord, so his heart, God is not first in his life. The only thing that's first is in life is him, what he does to make money and all the other foolish things of the world. Not that we don't need money, but we need him first. Amen. Money isn't going to get you home. Amen. For he shall be like a shrub in a desert. Anybody know what a shrub in a desert is? Do you ever rub up to a shrub that's got thorns on it? Doesn't feel too good, does it? It's dry. And it says, he shall be like a shrub in a desert and shall not see when good comes. In other words, he will be blinded because he's so busy about himself. He can't see when God is trying to do something. And he says, he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. That's a terrible place to be, isn't it? Believe me, much of the world is that way. But it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a what? A tree planted where? By the waters. It's amazing, isn't it? Look at how much is made of water. I think, what are we, 80% water or something like this? More? But there's water everywhere, isn't there? You know, even when you hold water, it's just, isn't it kind of like wild? It's like, man, water. And there's something beautiful about water. It can clean you. You wash clothes with it. You wash yourself with it. You drink it. In other words, without water, you cannot sustain life here. You can eat all the food you want, but you've got to have water or you'll die. So in this water, he's speaking of two things. He's speaking about a physical water, but a spiritual water. And then as he says, he shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the what?
River.
It's called the river of life. And will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and he will not be what?
Anxious.
What's that word?
Anxious.
He will not be what?
Anxious.
That's associated with fear, isn't it? He will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Cursed, shrub. We're a shrub, dry in the desert. We can't see when God's trying to get something to us. We are unstable in that condition. The source is self in that condition. Has everybody got it? The source is self. Me, myself, and I. What can I do? But there's a place where we are blessed, where we are trees planted by the rivers, the river of life, a spiritual river. And this is where we bear fruit. We're not anxious. Our source is the Lord, because he says, and we will trust in the Lord. Is everybody with me? So in this, there's a place that man has a choice. Man has a choice to either trust God and follow God or trust man and follow man. That's the choice. God will not interfere with your free will. But he does make it known. You know, they're still trying to figure out where everything came from. You know, scientists spend more time trying to figure out all of this stuff. And they have all of their assumptions. They've got Darwin's theory, which we came from an animal. You know, which is plumb nuts. They've got all kinds of theories, a bang theory. There's going to be a big bang, though, when Jesus returns. It's going to be a real big bang. But it's amazing that they try to calculate all of these things that this particle or this material all of a sudden joined together and did a big bang theory. And all of these things, but they never go, well, where did that come from? In other words, something had to create something. Things just don't come unless it's been created by God. So people who don't believe in God, it's amazing because when they get in trouble, they go, oh, God. I don't believe in God. Oh, God, help me. See, because we came from God. We came from the other realm. We came from God. And the moment that we were conceived in this realm, we lost all memory and all inheritance. And so we've been walking in this realm trying to find out who we are, why we're here, and where we're going. Anybody ever seen the movie Matrix? Powerful. It's such an awesome flick in the area that it's true. And I believe that that was sent by the Lord to bring an understanding and awaken people that there's another realm that's more real than this one. Because your death is actually your awakening. Amen? So in these two realms that we live in, we're living in the physical realm, but we're from a spiritual realm. We're from an eternal realm. We've been sent by God on a mission. That's why we've been here trying to find out why we're here, who we are, what's our purpose. And until we come to Christ and everything begins to fall into place. Because we're not sent here on a religious mission. God's not religious. We were sent here on a military operation to fight against the powers of darkness that have taken over the earth and have deceived God's children. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from where? The throne of God and from the what? And from the Lamb. So there was this river of life coming from the throne room of God and from the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So he's talking about a river of life. It is a spiritual river. And this river flows from the Lamb of God, who was Jesus Christ, into the natural, who was crucified and became the Lamb of God, and from the throne room of God. Now, I want you to understand that there's something very powerful because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So he was a representation of the tabernacle of God, the place where God dwells when he came into this realm. And from this river flows life. It is a spiritual river of life. In a book of Ezekiel 47. Now, this is not just temporary life. This is eternal life. In Ezekiel 47 and starting at verse 1. Now, Ezekiel was taken up on a vision, and the Spirit took him to show him things. It says in Ezekiel 47, is everybody there? Amen. Verse 1. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from the under the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the front of the temple faced east, the water was flowing from under the right side. The what side? Right side of the temple. Remember that. South of the altar. He brought me out by the north gate and led me around on the other outside to the other outer gateway that faces east, and there was water running out of the right side. Now, I want to share with you something very important. Water came out of the right side, and we're going to review this again as we continue with this teaching. Jesus was pierced where? On the right side. is representation of the birth of the body of Christ. When Jesus was pierced on the cross, water came out. It was a representation and a continuous of the river of life, the river, water. And the blood was associated with this. His water and blood came out of his side. And he says, he who drinks of my blood shall have eternal life. In other words, drinks of the river. Also was pierced on the right side. Well, what happened was, when he was pierced on the right side, the blood came out. Adam was put to sleep, and out of his right side, a rib was taken, producing the bride. So when Jesus was pierced, he produced the bride of Christ, those who are willing to drink of the river, who come into his kingdom. Is everybody with me? And those willing to drink of this would have eternal life with him forever. And verse 3. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my what? Ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my knees. See, depending on how deep you want to get in the river. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross. Hallelujah. For the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned, there along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. So in other words, this river brings healing. And it shall be that everything that moves, whether the river, wherever the river goes, will what? Live. So guess who doesn't want you in the river? Satan. Powers of darkness. Why? They know that if you drink of that river, you will have life. You can be healed. There will be a very great multitude of what? Fish. What's a symbol of Christian? Hello? Because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the what? Wherever the what? River goes. It shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglem. They shall be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. In other words, big harvest. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to what? Salt. Along the bank of the river on this side and on that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the what? Sanctuary. And in that sanctuary is the temple of God. And that river also comes from the Lamb of God, who was known as Jesus the Christ. Their fruit will be their food, and their leaves for what? Medicine. In other words, healing here. The water of life is known as the river of life. It moves in the direction, now grab hold of this. It moves in the direction where there is worship. In other words, the river is drawn to worship. So when you and I worship the Lord, the river comes here. And there's a refreshing, there's a healing. See, because of the worship, in this worship, where you surrender yourself, you deny yourself, you're willing to get in the river. And this is where freedom comes, in the river. Worship is associated with drinking. If somebody gave you medicine when you were sick, man, you don't hesitate. I'll take anything to get. Yeah. Well, see, you don't have to run to the phone to call a doctor. You just can run to the throne. Now, I'm not telling you not to go to a doctor. But I can tell you that doctors put a lot of labels on you that are unnecessary, like bipolar. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I think that somebody just came up with it. I don't know what to call this person. Let's just call it bipolar. Here, take this. Well, when people come here, say bipolar. Because there's no such thing. Hallelujah. So in this river, the river is directed. It goes to where there's ever worship. It is the drink of the Christ. In other words, when you drink the river, you are actually drinking the presence of God. You are drinking the anointing. It's called the anointing. And the anointing is the eternal power, presence, and truth of God Almighty. So do you think that anything can come against the eternal power of God? How about the eternal presence of God? How about the eternal truth of God? That's right. So in this, we drink of the anointing. We drink of the river of life that changes us. You know, people want to change, but you can't change yourself. You may go change your clothes, but you're still the same person. You can, you know, put as much deodorant on and perfume and wash your hair and all the other stuff, but you're still the same person. The only way you change inside is by drinking of the river. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Now, what happens is when we are drinking of the river, the anointing of God, which carries his eternal presence, power, and truth, comes so that individuals can be freed from the slavery of sin and deception. Certain things begin to happen. Go to John chapter 4. You know, Lucifer was the praise and worship leader of the universe for God. When he rebelled, God removed him, sentenced him to the earth. So he handles the music of the earth, doesn't he? So he causes people to drink deception. They drink lust. They drink oppression. They drink all kinds of things that darkness promotes in this realm. Is everybody with me? So they drink all of these things. They drink greed. All of these songs that come out, that come from darkness, cause people to drink them. And what you drink is what you become. It's in John chapter 4. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 22. He says, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit." That word spirit means breath. When you will worship the Father in breath, that means you got to sing. That's why we put the words up. So you can sing to the Lord. What causes you to drink? So you can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father does what? The Father is what? Seeking such to worship. So if the Father is looking for you, wouldn't you want him? Let me tell you, when he shows up, you get healed. When he shows up, you get freed. The Father is seeking those who will worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit. In other words, associated with breath. And those who worship him must, everyone say must. Worship him in what? Spirit and truth. I get a lot of people tell me, yeah, I worship the Lord. I read my Bible. That's not worship. It's amazing how many people will come in and they'll be silent. That's not worship. Worship means you will worship him out of your mouth in spirit. Why? Because the river will be drawn to you. And as you begin to drink the river, something supernaturally begins to happen in you. But the enemy tries to tell you and convince you through this. Oh, ain't nothing going on. I don't need to do this. This is religious. All of a sudden, there's all kinds of voices in you. Because those voices are the voice of the stranger. What are they trying to do? Prevent you from drinking of the river of life. Because they know once you start drinking of the river of life, you start getting free, you're going to turn around and start kicking their butt. You lied to me all this time. You're going to start getting angry with darkness instead of serving darkness and deception. Amen? John chapter 9. Glory to God. John chapter 9 and verse 1. Let's speak it together. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now this is very powerful. Grab hold of this. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his what? His parents. You know why they said that? Because they understood that curses come down the family line. So they were asking, did this man sin or did his parents sin? In other words, did he become blind because of what he did or because of what his forefathers did? That's why when you go to a doctor, what does he say? Is there any history of diabetes? Is there any history of heart disease? Is there any, you know, they're looking for a disease in the blood, aren't they? Well, that disease got there from a curse because of the rejection of serving God from our forefathers that come down the family line. And that can be broke. But even his disciples knew, Lord, did this happen because of his sin or his parents' sin, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered and said, neither man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the what? I am the what? The light of the world. When he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. He washed with what? Water. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that man who was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? And said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. And others said, no, it's him. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And I receive my sight. I want you to understand something, that as you drink of the river, sight comes back, spiritual sight. You will see things you never saw before. You will understand things you never understood. You will hear, see, but you must maintain the area of drinking. Amen? You have to drink water every day. Well, you must drink of the Spirit. Go to verse 18. It says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight, and they asked him, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see? Now you got to understand, these are the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious group. And his parents answered and said to them, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. And his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age, and ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God glory. We know that this man is a sinner. He's talking about Jesus who healed him. And he answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. And they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh, man, that ticked these guys off, man, because they're all full of religiosity. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. And the man answered and said to them, why? This is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. God does not hear what? Unless they repent. But if anyone is a what? Worshipper of God and what? Does his will, he what? He hears them. How many of y'all want God to hear you? Amen. So what's he looking for? Worshippers. Worshippers that worship him and do his will. Is everybody okay? Why? Because Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one. I want you to go a little bit further. In verse 37, it says, Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I will believe. And he did what? He worshipped him. This was the man that was blind. Jesus came to him because he couldn't see him before. So Jesus came to him, and he revealed himself as Lord, and the man did something. He worshipped him. Why? Because he was grateful and thankful. The greatest way that you can say thank you, God, is to worship him. Amen? Thank you for what you've done. And the other thing is, in worshiping him, is going to maintain your sight. It will maintain your spiritual sight. So when you stop worshiping him, you actually become, scales become back on your eyes again. So it's our responsibility to keep these scales off of our eyes. Amen? Is everybody okay? Go to John 6. John chapter 6. The river of life. What brings the river of life? Worship. Your worship. Your worship. Again, the enemy does not want you to worship. He doesn't mind if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He doesn't even mind if you go to a Bible study. But when it comes to worship, he does not want you to worship because you drink of life. It is a spiritual drink. In John 6 and verse 53, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Now his flesh is associated with his word, and his blood is associated with the river of life. In verse 55, my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is what? Drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not of your fathers who ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will what? Will live forever. In John 19, Jesus was speaking of himself. Remember, Jesus was the tabernacle of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember, where did the river flow? It flowed out of the right side of the temple, out of the tabernacle, didn't it? Where did it flow from Jesus? On the right side of him. In verse 30, John 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken so to bring a quick death, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who were crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead, and they did not break his legs. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, and his legs would, no bones would be broken in him. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Representation that Jesus now birthed from the unseen realm into the seen realm. He birthed the body of Christ, his bride, and he also brought the river, anyone willing to follow him. So everybody got it? Water and blood. Again, we need natural water to live, don't we? Ezekiel saw this whole thing coming from the temple. Jesus is the tabernacle of God. In Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Was Jesus the sacrifice? Yes, he was a sacrifice for all men, wasn't he? You know, people think of when you mention Jesus as some religious prophet or something. First of all, Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one who carried the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, who was God himself. He said, if you see me, you see the Father. He put on flesh, came into this realm to open the door. The word also says that he is the commander and the chief. What's the commander? The Lord's army. So everybody's been recruited into the army of God. There's a battle going on. In Hebrews 13, so Jesus was the sacrifice. But you and I maintain the continuous sacrifice, but we maintain the sacrifice of praise. Because the sacrifice of praise causes us to worship and drink. Worship and drink. In Hebrews 13, in verse 14. For we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the what? Sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That sacrifice of praise associated with worship causes you to drink of the river. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. Verse 17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles, unbelievers, sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Demons. Demons are disembodied spirits. And not to God. So let me ask you something. When you're singing all these songs in the secular realm, what are you offering? Sacrifices to what? Demons, demonic forces. Is everybody with me? See, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, his power is fear. Everybody here is a spirit. There isn't one person here who's not a spirit. And there isn't one person who will not stand before God. Nobody avoids that. And there's only one way home. You don't go home because you're good. You go home because you accept the price he paid for you. And now you follow him. Other than that, if you're still associated in the secular world, and you're still singing their songs, you're offering sacrifices to demons and you are drinking the cup of demons. You are bringing a curse on yourself. It says that they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Why? Because you open the door to demonic forces in your life. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. In other words, he won't put himself under things of bondage. Is everybody okay? In Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. You know, there's a lot of, if you ever hear about a lot of testimonies and so forth of individuals that have done certain things, and I'm not saying all of them, but many of the mass murders, they began to listen to certain music that began to influence them because they became demonized. Then they began to drink of that music and then eat of the words of certain books they used to read or pornography and all the other stuff that they would intake. Because what you eat is what you become. And in chapter in Matthew chapter 4, is everybody there? This is very powerful. Look, and starting at verse 1, it says, "And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by who? The devil, the powers of darkness, Satan. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread.'" You know, the devil always attacks you when you're at your weakest point, right? He doesn't come with a little dart. He comes with a harpoon. "But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" In other words, man cannot live on bread alone or food of the natural, because he will die. "But spiritual food, he will live." So everybody got it? See, that's why the river of life is essential. It's living in the river, not living in the fast lane. It's living in the river. And that river comes and is directed as you worship God. This is called living in the Spirit. In 1 Samuel 16, give you an idea here. There was a king named Saul who was anointed by God. God's presence was on him. And he would begin to compromise. And as he began to compromise, God lifted his presence. And when God lifted his presence, a distressing demon came. Actually, there was probably more than one, but they speak of one. It was called a distressing spirit. In verse 14, it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." This was a demon. Is everybody with me? "And Saul's servants said to him, 'Surely a distressing spirit is from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp, and it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well.'" Is anybody there? "And you shall be well." In other words, even Saul's servants in the Old Testament knew about demons. And he said, "Look, let's get God's presence here and you'll feel better." Now look at this. Go to verse 21. "So he chose David to play for him. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, David's father, and said, 'David, please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight.'" In verse 23, everybody read this with me. "And so it was, whenever the Spirit of God was upon Saul, that distressing spirit, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become what? Refreshed, well, and the distressing spirit would what? Depart from." In other words, that demon left him. So everybody got it? That demon left him. And Saul would become well and refreshed. Why? Because they would drink of the river of life. Amen? Go to Mark 16. In Mark 16, in verse 16. Let's speak it together, okay? Mark 16, in verse 16. What does it say? "He who believes and is baptized." What's the word "believe" mean?
Follow.
"And he who" what? "Believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." So he who follows will be saved, he who doesn't follow won't be saved. "And these signs will follow those who believe" or "who follow." Look at the first thing he says. He says, "In my name they will" what? Hello. They will what? "Cast out demons." How many of you know addiction is a demon? It's the presence of evil. How many know fear is a demon? Demons are disembodied spirits, and they get fed by emotion. Look, at where anything is promoting death, it's a demon. Somebody got it? If there's something promoting death, it's a demon. If fear is promoting death, it's a demon. If sickness is promoting death, it's a demon. There's demons that are out there. Addiction is not a dis-ease. It's a demon. The word dis-ease means not at ease. It doesn't mean sickness. But everybody looks at the word disease as a sickness. It's a spirit. It is a presence of a spirit. And once it's removed, you're free. That's what it's about. So the first thing he says, you're going to cast out devils. Why? So people can get free. And you will speak with new tongues. In other words, I'm going to empower you so you can speak directly to me in tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it won't hurt them. And I'm not telling you to go out and empty your gas can and drink it. Don't go tempt God, you're going to die. If you pick up a snake that's a poison just to tempt God, he's going to bite you and you're going to die. There's a difference. Okay? I see all these goofy religious idiots out there. It blows me away. There's a little girl there. Oh, where are you from? My daddy was worshiping a demon or whatever. You held a snake, oh, you're one of those, and bite him and die. That's just plumb dumb. Don't tempt God. It says they will lay hands on the sick. They will what? Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Wow. Why does that happen? Because they drink of life, and they're able to give life. Not that we give it, but he gives it through us. Amen? That's why God says, my people are destroyed for not lack of knowledge. Again, demon spirits promote death. So everybody got it? They promote death. We're to live our life out and die when it's supposed to. When you die before your time, people go, almost spent his time. No, they ate themselves to death. No, they drank themselves to death. No, they overdosed. It wasn't God's time for them to die. They were killed by demons. Everybody got it? And they're out to steal, kill, and destroy every human being possible. In Acts chapter 1. Hallelujah. It's time to kick some butt. Religious demons are the worst. They always come against the anointing. Well, I don't believe God does that anymore. Well, you're an idiot. Spiritually blinded. I don't believe in all of that stuff. Of course, you got a spirit of unbelief. He's called a demon and he's killing you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you shall receive power when who? The Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? He's the river of what? Life. He says you're going to receive power. Why? Because the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth. So you drink. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me. It's not a very good witness to Jesus. If you're still out there drinking and partying and doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, I know Jesus, yeah. Yeah, well, does he know you? And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and all Samaria and to the end of the earth. In other words, the Holy Spirit is associated with the river of life. As you worship, you get filled. You get power, the eternal presence, power. Look at the world offers food of the temporary. Those who are a friend of the world make themselves an enemy of God. We are not friends of the world. Jesus offered himself in replacement for temporary food. That puts you in a temporary condition. We want to have eternal food. And I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The river of life. So the next time the devil tells you don't go worship, stick your foot in his mouth. Cut off his head. Rebuke him. Say no. Listen, God is not the God of feeling. He is the God of truth. You don't go by how you feel. People who live by how they feel are the most dangerous people there are. Do you ever have somebody tell you, yeah, man, I'll meet you there. And they never show up. Well, what happened? Well, I just fell into something else. Because they're led by their feelings. The feelings that we need is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Not fear, anxiety, stress. Not lust. Not hatred. Not murder. Not all of these other feelings. We need peace, joy. We must discern those feelings and overcome those feelings. But you can't overcome them without power. You can't overcome them in your own strength. It's impossible. And you can't overcome them in medication. You just become a zombie. Second Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 3. But even if our gospel, the truth, the word of God, the food of God. Are you hearing truth today? Then it's known as the gospel of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, if it's prevented, if it's blinded, it is veiled to those who are what? They are decaying. They are dying. Whose mind's the God of this age? Who's the God of this age? Satan. He's the ruler of this earth. God created it, but Satan's the ruler of it. The only way from underneath his authority and his deception, his power, and his death is to come under Christ and start drinking from the river of the Lamb. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded people. They get fulfillment by money. They get fulfillment by self-works. They get fulfillment. Well, we get fulfillment from the river of life. Man, when I'm in God's presence, I don't care about nothing. I'm free, I'm filled, and I'm content. Whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe or who do not follow, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And how is that going to happen? Drink of the river. It is the river of life. You know, one of the things that the Lord said to me when I was bound by drugs and alcohol, and I was desperate, and I didn't even know the Lord. I just began to cry out to God because I tried programs and everything else. I began to cry out to God. I said, God, help me, help me, help me. And he said to me, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol, or do you want a new life? And I said, I want a new life. And he said, show me. See, when you cry out to God for help, he sends you to a place to learn. So I said, okay. And for 2 months, I did whatever it took. And then he came to visit me. And when he came to visit me, he healed me, delivered me, brought me to the other side. And his first words out of his mouth was, this Bible is true. See, because I never believed it. We walked in this earth for so long wanting to know truth. Truth. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus the Christ. He is God. He is the truth. He is the way. He's the life. He is the knowledge. You got all of these special things going on in the earth. They got think tanks. They got all. Man, they need to go to the throne room of God and get their answer. You know, you'd like to say to all the governments, well, how's it working? How's it working out there? Oh, how's the economy? How's this? How's it working? Maybe you ought to humble yourselves before God Almighty. But I believe all this is just a part of prophecy because we're getting closer and closer. We are a generation of the return of the Lord. God is calling all of those who've been bound by drugs and served devil, the powers of darkness, and pulling them out, saying, it's time now. Turn around. I'll fill you. Give you a drink. Did you ever see by the bars? What do they say? They say food and spirits. Hello. They're not kidding. They should just really tell you the truth, though. Food and demons. It's real simple. You think they'd lose business? I don't know. Some people don't care. They're so demonized, they figure, might as well go drink the cup of demons. But remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. It's a terrible place to die in that condition. Amen? So I encourage you, deny yourself the law. Deny yourself the law of conversion. Pick up the cross and follow him. Deny yourself means take off the old. Pick up the cross means put on the new. And follow him means receive, hear, submit, obey. The choice is yours. He won't force you, but he does give you opportunity. Amen? Don't miss his visitation, because opportunities are visitations from the Lord. Just because he didn't show up on a white horse or in a cloud of glory or thunder and lightning doesn't mean it's not God. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Lord, again, we ask, Lord, that you would bring revival to this country, that you would rescue those who've received this seed today, and that this word that was imparted in them would grow and bear fruit for your glory, that you would grant them freedom, that you would grant them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to receive, and that they may worship you in truth and spirit and live forever in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.